Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 568 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton Sweat.
I'm back. New year, new me, and all back. That good stuff.
Yeah, it's 2023. We made it, guys. We made it through a whole year.
It's season 2023 of League of Legends.
Almost. It is almost.
Did you know that they actually named the year after the season of League of Legends?
It is pretty cool that they decided to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, a very slow week. I think Riot's coming back this week, so we should have some news next week. We've got a couple new patrons, maybe a little bit of LeagueCast news, perhaps a hear from Audible, and then we'll probably just shoot the shit for a while before we move into like a bi-weekly again, like Aiden and I did last week, and then we'll close out with Roundtable and Mailfight. But let's hear from you, Aiden. How was your week?
Mike was good. I guess I got my account unbanned last week, right?
I think like the day of or the day before, something like that.
So I've been playing on that and being a really good boy with chat off. Not that I got chat banned anyways, but like regardless. Dude, I had a game though. I played a fucking ARAM that I played where I wasn't like inting like on purpose, but like it just wasn't going well.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, fuck. Could I get banned because I was recently banned for inting? Like, that they're now going to look at this game and fucking think that I was not trying?
Oh, no. He's paranoid now.
I'm now paranoid, dude. And I didn't, because I'm actually just a good boy who tries really hard in all my games.
Except one.
Except for one. Yeah, no, but it's just like, I don't know. I don't want to be paranoid, but I don't know. I had an ARAM where I died 17 times.
That's not that bad. Yeah. I guess it depends on how long it was.
20
it's
minutes.
Wild.
Oh, that's a lot.
I also got 17 kills, but
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
In my defense, it was more like I was like 4 and 15, and then I got like 12 kills. You know what I mean?
Ah, I see.
Yeah, but there's no way that they have the technology to see more than just the end score line to be able to understand the context of why that happened.
Yeah. No, they can't understand builds. They've got that one down. They know you're not supposed to build. What is that? Rod of Ages on Vi.
So. Yeah. It's wild to me that you inted one game and got banned, and I inted for 700 games and got master.
I don't know. I'm still a little salty, but that's all right. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of community games, been having a lot of fun. I played a lot last night, and it was just a fucking blast. I fucking whipped out my patented Gangplank that I've been working on in ARAMs.
Yeah.
And, man, I am so fucking good at using his two best abilities.
His ult and his W?
No, his gun and his sword.
Oh, okay.
Don't need to hit barrels, dude. You just fucking flash on them and auto-attack them and shoot them.
Yeah.
And they die.
Nice.
But no, it's fun. I like that character.
Going to Tom Kent route on Gangplank flash auto.
Yeah, and I had like 5 CS emitted on Gangplank, went 19-6, because I'm fucking
5
sick
CS
with
emitted.
I only got one ult upgrade in fucking... Sick. 35-minute game. No, it was fun, though. It was great. And then I played a bit of a drunk Draven game, and I fucking went 23-something, not really paying attention, which is fun. But I've been having fun playing community games. I might do them one more time tonight, and then I'm probably going to take a bit of a break from them.
I forgot Kenny was coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I noticed, like, as I was traveling, like, every night there was community nights, and I'm like, oh, I get it. I'm gone and unavailable now. Now I don't know.
No, it's definitely more just I'm lonely.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to play with people.
Pretty pog. There's just, like, community nights, like, back-to-back or, like, every other day for a week.
Dude, it felt good, though, because there's definitely some people, like, I did one on, like, I think Christmas Eve because, like, I was snowed and I couldn't go see my family. And we got, like, 20 people who were in our Discord then. And last night I did it, which is, like, first day of the new year, and we had, I think, at one point 27 people in our Discord channel.
That's crazy. Nice.
But it was fun, yeah. So I feel bad that I can't get 27 people in a game because League doesn't allow you to do fucking goofy customs where you can do 10v10s and shit like that.
No, that'd be wild.
That'd be so funny if you if they're just like, hey, you know the regular ARAM map? What if we put 10 more people on it?
But like, why not? Who cares?
Yeah, right? I mean, it's just like
they thought Hexakill was a good idea. Why not make it? You know,
it's definitely just built like on like fucking 2009.
I mean, yeah,
software, and that's the issue.
Because you know, game does have that Dota,
but Dota was built on, you know, 2020 software though, right?
Well, I think it came out the same year. Our Dota 2 did at least came out the same year. League did, I believe.
Yeah, but it was Dota 2.
Oh, that's thing. Yeah. We're still waiting for League 2.
They fixed all of the core problems with the original Dota, so they don't have to deal with them anymore.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're right.
Outside of that, though, I'm still putting together some League-related stuff that I talked about last week. Probably going to halt applications, even though we have a ton, and I only talked about it once, just because it's a lot to put together. And
you got a lot of feedback on that.
I'm very much getting to the, oh, fuck, maybe I shouldn't have done this. This is a lot of work. Oh, my God. I don't want to disappoint people who have signed up, and I don't want to make people sad who don't get on a team, and I don't want to, like, not do this because it's something that I just, like, want to do. And, you know, it's, like, one of those where... it will happen, hopefully. So I think my current idea is I'm going to get probably two teams together, one silver, like iron, bronze, silver team, one gold team. And then there's another league that's rumored to be opening up in like January, February sort of thing. And they're supposed to have an iron, bronze, silver league. So we have mostly iron, bronze, silver signups, I would say. And I do feel bad because it's this weird thing where iron and silver are still pretty different, I would say.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the iron players who've signed up because there isn't really just iron leagues. Like, meaning if you're either going to be on a team with people who are way stronger than you, and then you're going to be like this weak link where I've had this before where I'm like the worst player on a team and I'm on fucking Malphite duty or something. And that's not fun either. But it's also not fun if you're like on a full iron team and you're just playing against like a full silver one team, right? So I'm trying to figure out the logistics of that. The reality is I'm hoping that I just put together like a gold team, put together an iron, bronze, silver team, maybe put together one more team if another league comes out that I'm interested in, see how those go. And if they go well, I'm hoping that maybe mid-year we can try putting together an in-house League of Legends, like LeagueCast league, rather than like signing up for external leagues. It's a lot of work, but I think it would be something that would be a lot of fun if we could manage to do it. So
yeah,
and it would give us more freedom to like balance teams and have like, you know, like Iron Knight or like Bronze Knight or whatever like that and have it go well. But anyways, that's the current update on that. A little stressful, but I'm gonna try to get it wrapped up today, hopefully, maybe like put together some placeholder teams. And then outside of that, I fully dropped Death Stranding because that game blows cog. And I want to play through all the Mass Effects. I want to play through Skyrim, and then the new games for PlayStation Plus like come out tomorrow, and one of them is Jedi Fallen Order, and I really want to play that. So I think I'm gonna play that first, then I'm gonna play through Mass Effect, then I'm gonna play through Skyrim.
Hell yeah. That's a fun game.
Yeah, it looks sick. I already know the ending, so kind of
spoiled myself there. It's definitely the best part. So.
Yeah, but I heard it's like pretty good. I heard it's like very simplified, like Dark Souls-esque gameplay.
I think you're gonna find it remarkably easy. And don't read like Steam reviews or anything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's just I think you and I both are more like Team Parry now.
Yeah.
Right. Than like I still played Elden Ring with a sword and shield, but after Sekiro and actually Sekiro is probably just the primary driver, it is hard to not at least try to parry some of the more challenging things, right?
Yeah And if you parry, is it OP in that game? Is that the idea?
I think it's the only way to actually play the game.
Oh, okay.
is to actually beat some of the things, but it's really easy to like get some parries. It's pretty forgiving.
Yeah, I heard it's like if you've played other Souls games, it's like a easier version of that. Not that like easy means worse or anything, but
no, but it's definitely more like an action version of like a Souls game.
Yeah,
and like easy or hard doesn't make it better or worse. But if you do play a game on easy, you didn't actually beat the game.
True.
I love playing games on easy.
My normals are usually my go-to. I don't think I'll ever play on hard unless it's a game that I like super super enjoy.
I love going back to games that I enjoy playing them on hard, but like, dude, if a game has a fucking like easy option, I'm either playing on the like fucking baby I don't have arms level.
Really?
Like I never turn on like accessibility options like and stuff to like make the game easier or whatever, but like whatever the easiest thing is, or I'll go one step above to like regular easy usually.
Yeah.
Dude, I just want to play through a game. I want to enjoy it. I want to play like the way I want to play, and if I enjoy it, I'll go back and play it on like a hard difficulty.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, no, I'm with Nick that I normally stick to normal, and then depending like on replays, I'll probably play like one up, like, right, most games with difficulty settings I feel like have like easy, medium, hard. There are a few out there, especially I think in roguelikes, they'll be like easy, medium, hard, harder, super hard, impossible.
Yeah.
And those ones maybe at some point, if it's a game I really enjoy, I'll start like cranking up the difficulty. But yeah, I don't know. Like first time playing of a game, if you start it normal, I feel like it lets you actually play the game faster as opposed to like, oh, I'm going to spend the first 8 hours of this game just failing miserably while I try and figure it out.
And I feel like the issue is that the difficulty always comes, at least in the games that I've played, early, and it falls off later where, you know, at the end of the game, you're one-shotting everything or like not having trouble anymore. Mm-hmm. But like the start of a Fire Emblem game, for instance, on, I think it was Insanity on for Fire Emblem Awakening, was like it so difficult. Like you had to be space perfect, and sometimes even then restart because they got like unlucky crits or something like that. But after that, then it just became, you know, regular Fire Emblem.
So. I mean, the only game I've played on the hardest difficulty is Kingdom Hearts, and like,
yeah,
it's pretty known in that like community. So there's these things called data battles at the end, which are like the hardest fights in the entire fucking game. They're optional, right? Mm-hmm. And playing the game on critical is fucking miserable early. It's so fucking hard. You take double damage and all that shit, but you do 25% more, and you get like access to skills and stuff earlier. So it's for like experienced players, right? But when you get to those data battles at the very end, taking double damage doesn't fucking matter because you're getting one hit anyways. So doing the extra 25% just matters so much. So like, for most people, playing the game on critical is easier for those final fights in the like optional game versus playing it on like the next lowest difficulty.
Which is wild. It's wild.
Yeah, and I think that highlights an issue that a lot of games that do difficulty scaling don't do it super well. Right, like, you know, a lot of them are just like, okay, well, in the easier mode, you have more HP, enemies have less HP.
Oh, the fucking Skyrim problem.
Yeah. And then there are games like, I think, you know, Hades is a game that does it super well, where it's like, here are 15 different aspects that you can use to make your run slightly harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool. That's my week. Yeah. Sorry, we got a little off track, but that's all my stuff.
We had a sneaky little bi-weekly in there.
How about, all right, Colton? 2 weeks.
Your
Christmas and New Year's.
2 whole weeks. Yeah, Christmas and New Year's. Well, let's get the not fun stuff out of the way. I drove a whole lot. It was not fun.
Did you drive up to Illinois?
Yeah, I drove to St. Louis.
Okay.
And then we drove from St. Louis to Tennessee to go to Rachel's family, and then from Tennessee back to Dallas. So all in all, I think it was probably about like 22, 24 hours in the car.
Yucky.
Between those three drives. But I mean, it wasn't like terrible. It's just at a certain point, especially when you're like me-sized, you're going to start getting uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, Christmas was really fun. We hung out with Warren and my family in St. Louis. We played some board games, played some Jackbox games, had some yummy food, did Christmas presents, all that good stuff. We basically went over then to Tennessee and did it all again with Rachel and her family. They have a little farm down there, and their Great Pyrenees had just recently had puppies, so there were 8 Great Pyrenees puppies to hang out with, which was awesome. They all came like tumbling out of the barn to greet us, and they were real small, and they like know how to walk, but they do keep like tripping over themselves and each other. It was so cute. And they would like nibble on your hands or your shoelaces or your pants or like whatever they could get their teeth on. But I would just kind of like leave my hand, and like there would be 3 or 4 puppies like nibbling on my fingers, but they don't actually know how to bite yet. It was a great time.
That's awesome.
And then we came home for New Year's, hung out with our buddy Colin, joined some other friends in like a Discord, played, you know, I think Gartic Phone, and then we did some Jackbox games over Discord. Outside of that, we're getting back into the swing of renovations. We're mounting and repainting all the doors. So there are currently zero doors except for exterior doors in the condo.
Interesting.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it for my 2 weeks. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few things, but that's all I got. What do you have, Nick? What have you been up to?
Let's see. So I was here last week, so you don't need to hear about my Christmas again. But I took my girlfriend to somewhere, a city nearby where they celebrate New Year's a little bigger than my city does. So that was pretty fun. It was a surprise, like Christmas gift. And we had a great time, had some really good food. We ended up doing a dessert tour, was so good. It was so, so delicious. And we ended up having baklava on the dessert tour and then going back the next day and then going back again that later that day. It was so good. But, a tiny little bit of league, hey guys, works OP. That's what I'm going to say. But I think that's it. I don't think, I don't really think there's anything else. So I guess we can get on with the show. Do we have any LeagueCast news? Do you hear about our patrons?
Yeah, new patrons. That's about it, really, I think. I think we're going to record some patron stuff like later, but replay reviews. OP.GG reviews will come back in February when the season actually starts, because we don't even have a start date yet, so won't do them for this month. But they'll be back next month, probably.
It's not weird that we don't have a start date yet, right? Like, this is pretty normal.
I feel like they usually announce it at the end of the season when the start date is. Like, it's usually, like, second or third week of January. It's just weird because we're in the first week. We'll probably hear tomorrow because we're recording this on Monday rather than Tuesday.
True.
We'll probably hear tomorrow when it's going to be, which is my guess it's going to be either the 10th or the 17th. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Cool. There's no new news. So what would we like to talk about?
I just kind of want to shoot the shit about, like, League as a whole, and I guess this stems from the fact of I put out a list of my top games that I played in 2023 on Twitter, right? I was just, like, talking about it. Let me actually pull that up just to give context, and I guess at least I'll tell you. Someone asked me, they're like, oh, why isn't League in this? Because it's just general games that I played. My list was Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Ghost of Tsushima, Hollow Knight, Spider-Man, Rune King, Pokemon Scarlet, Vampire Survivors, Dark Souls 3, Final Fantasy, Crisis Core Reunion. And then I had honorable mentions of Final Fantasy VII Remake, Until Dawn, Bloodborne, and Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. And someone asked me, they're like, hey, why is League not on here? Because obviously it's not just games that came out this year. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, I find it very hard to think of constant ongoing multiplayer games as ever being game of year contenders for me. That's just in general. That being said, there's definitely years where I would put these games in my like best games I played in the year, right? Like there's years where I'd put Sea of Thieves in, where I'd put PUBG in, where I'd put League of Legends in, and I don't think League's that close to being in my top 10 this year.
Interesting. Okay, even though I assume it has the majority of your playtime, like
without a doubt. I mean, I guess like, yeah, League's probably honestly like 50% of my playtime of all video games, right? Like that's probably safe.
I feel like also like, in terms of general like game of the year, obviously most places will be like games made this year.
I
think personal lists, even like. It's typically like games I played for the first time this year or games that I like really played for the first time this year. And that's why to me, again, like I would never really think about putting like League into that conversation. Cause it's like, otherwise for me, it's like League's going to probably be in like my top five, top three every year because I don't play a ton of different games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. So, like, do you think that there could be, like, a patch or an update of League that would put it into your, like, top 10? Or do you think that's just something that doesn't fit your criteria for the most part?
I think my interests are just shifting. And I know that's, like, more of, like, a what does the future hold type thing. But I very much... I enjoy League. I like being very good at it. I like especially the community aspects. Like, I mean, I try to do community nights as much as I can because I think it's the most fun thing out of, like, when ranked is really good, it's probably harder than community nights. But, like, community nights are definitely the second best thing. And I feel like I just don't have the things that would make it a top game anymore. Like, when we were younger, like, just literally you'd get on every night, you'd play 5v5 yeah. with your friends, right? Like, you just, like, pick you up for normals fucking just every night of the week. And obviously, that doesn't work when you're an adult because you don't have time to get on every night and fucking play with your buddies and just, like, queue, like, normal League of Legends games that don't really mean anything.
I would make time for you, Aiden, but I guess I'm not a priority to you.
But it's, like, it's just different, right? Like, I don't value that nearly as much, which I think is part of the reason why I'd ever put League in that category, I guess. And I don't think that's going to change. I also do think that League was not good this year. I mean, the gameplay was fine, don't get me wrong. I just think the actual direction for the game was not very good this year. I don't think they did very much at all. Like, I would say they did very little of note this year.
We talked about this
in the patron thing for like a while.
Yeah.
But it's just more the fact that I don't think they honestly did anything. We're seeing, like, I know we see constant content creator exodus is, like, a lot, like, every couple of years or whatever. I would say this year seems like the biggest content creator exodus for League. I would say esports seems like it's slowing down with, like, obviously funding drying up. I am worried that if League doesn't produce a bunch of interesting stuff this year, the game is going to not die. Die is a silly way to put it, but it's going to regress a lot.
Okay.
I don't think you can have 2 years of doing nothing with a game. So I'm hoping they have a bunch of stuff in store. But honestly, outside of releasing five characters, of which I would say three are not adding that much to the game, they didn't do much to the game this year.
Which characters would you put
Pokemon in the game?
I think Zeri is super interesting. I think she, like, adds a lot to the game. So let's look. We talked about these characters actually in depth on a picture thing. But, like, just, like, what are the characters? It's Renata, Zeri, Cassante.
I can't remember now. Yeah. Okay, those, maybe you're right.
Those are the three, and I think Cassante is in also, he's, like, almost in the interesting cat. I think his character design and everything is interesting. I also think the game doesn't fucking change if he's not in it. I think Renata is relatively interesting, probably doesn't change the game enough. Zeri changes the game a lot, maybe not for the right reasons. But I just don't think we've had too many characters. And I know this is, like, an echoed point of, like, I forget whose video it was. Someone put out a video, and it's like, hey, if you remove the last X number of characters, and there's a fucking hyperbole. They said, if you remove all the characters up until Pike, the game doesn't change, which I think is definitely a hyperbole. I think it's a little silly. I understand their point is that Pike's the first character to have a new take on, like, a role, which, hey, now you can have assassins in the support role, right? That's the idea. Obviously, I think it's fucking crazy to say that because that's, like, 4 years of characters or whatever. That being said, I think the essence of that is true. I think there aren't a lot of characters that add stuff to League of Legends to shape the game in different ways and add more permutations to the game, right? And I think that's an issue.
I guess you could say, like, maybe uninspired is a good way to put it, and maybe not a good way to put it at the same time, because, like, there are some characters that are really cool that are unique and you know, fill a specific niche that don't necessarily reinvent the game as a whole. I think, like, Yone is a really good example. But then you have characters like Viego or Sylas that just, like, are immediately popular, like, feel really good to play, completely change how the game functions, positively or negatively sometimes. And maybe it has been a little less common.
I mean, the general idea is that, like, there just isn't a lot of high-impact director/designers at League right now. They've all moved on to other projects, Project L, the MMO, all these other things, right? Which makes sense. Like, and those things are, you need really talented people who have really good ideas. I just don't know if the shoes have been filled to replace them yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's an issue, which we can obviously see people step into those roles and make changes, or maybe people have already stepped into those roles and are making changes. I just think that if it's another year of not a lot happening, like, I think the most interesting thing that happened in League this year might be ARAM Clash. Like, so the ARAM rework plus ARAM Clash.
Yeah. Like, I guess I'm on the other side of this, where I think like the durability patch was the biggest part, and I'm
that's fair. Yeah,
I think it the game moved in a positive direction for that. Like from
that's a good point. I'll definitely concede. I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Like, but that is someone like coming from a role that benefited from it from the change. Talking to someone whose role largely lost some strength from the change, right?
Yeah,
like, I'm willing to concede that.
Mm-hmm. I guess to like talk less doom and gloom about it, like the things that I would like to see are the things you guys would like to see in the game in the next year or so. Like, for example, I would love to see more community tools, whether it be a custom game creator, which is never fucking gonna happen. Even just more access to custom games, right? There always is a custom, like a rotating game mode available, and you can use it in custom games, right? There's always one. There should never be fucking times where there's no rotating game mode. Like, there hasn't been a rotating game mode in almost like 2 months, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while, and it was brought up by, you know, Riot. That doesn't necessarily exclude it, that there were some issues with Nexus Blitz being, I don't know, interacting with systems that were changed or were in place or whatever. And we were supposed to have Nexus Blitz before the end of the year, which obviously didn't happen. But I'm definitely like on that side. I understand they're wanting to be like some, you don't want rotating game modes to last too long, or I guess come around too frequently. But I mean, why not do like, hey, this weekend is going to be the monthly, you know, rotating game mode. We're going to have it live Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You know, play it until then. If you're not interested, like, you don't lose out on anything. But I don't know. Like, people just want to play your game, Riot. Like, stop making it so difficult by limiting how people can play it. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess what a lot of this boils down to, and this is like very much a personal thing, and I don't think other people are affected by it. I know there are other people that I've talked to, at least, where they don't play new characters, or they don't enjoy picking up new characters, which, hey, in a game where the main draw is new characters are released every couple months, it's a little rough when the only things that it seems like are big news in the League of Legends world are news about other League-related products or a new character, right? Like, I'm looking through the list of characters. Like, once again, I am someone who doesn't pick up new characters, doesn't really play new characters, which is a me problem. That being said, the last new character other than Zeri, because I think Zeri is really, really cool and I really like her, that I really played a lot is honestly Pyke, which is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Which
he came
again,
in
like,
on 2018, right?
2018.
Like, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's like, once again, I understand it's a me problem, but just as someone who tries to get excited for League of Legends, it's hard when the only things that it seems like are the fun new things are new characters.
Yeah, new characters or, you know, like updates to characters, you know.
Yeah,
or
I think we like all enjoy the core gameplay of the game still. Like, that's
oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if I didn't enjoy, you know, the core gameplay of the game, I wouldn't be queuing up solo for fucking ARAMs at 8 o'clock
fucking
in the morning.
Three ARAMs.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I, you know, if I didn't enjoy the game, I wouldn't have dumped, what, like 300 solo queue games in?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that, like, I think it needs to be a little less stale, you know, a little less mediocre. I don't think it's bad or anything like that, but just there needs to be, like, a Spirit Blossom event where they release, like, a super fun event that people really enjoyed, and also a character people have been looking forward to, and also the character is really fun to play. Like, it needs a couple things to like hit just right. And I don't know. I think, like you said, the community events would be good. Community game manager or whatever. More, I won't say like game breaking characters, but I'm not really sure how to
characters
define
that don't
like
feel,
more unique
well,
characters.
Think, yeah.
I think one big thing that really hasn't been touched on yet, I've kind of just been letting you guys go through, is like, I feel like in particular, the balance this past year and the way they've approached patches, I feel like two patches, like one to the next, very rarely feel significantly different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they'll, okay, like, X character is beyond OP. Let's lower their win rate by 2%. so that now, you know, the top three, whatever, in that role are played a little bit more evenly, or we'll change out like one of those. But very rare has it been that, like, you know, let's say the top three 80 carries swap out for three entirely new 80 carries. Like, I don't know, you know, on hit attack speed becomes the norm and crit goes away. Or, you know, on hit attack speed stops because lethality, like, becomes OP again. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's necessarily good to have, and probably not to have all the time. But I feel like having a patch that feels unique and that's pulling in new characters is part of what can keep the game fresh, right? It's like, if you want top lane matchups to feel new and unique, you can add a new top laner. Or you can, or you can make it so that you're not facing an Aatrox every game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I stop having to fight Aatrox every single game, that's also going to feel really fresh.
Yeah, but I do think the durability patch sort of helped with that. But at the same time, we did get Aatrox, who is still a pretty strong character, and, you know, not very many balance changes in regards to that. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to kind of bring up in terms of, like, this year in League as a whole is something that I can't really give Riot any credit for, because I don't think they did anything differently, but I feel like we got the best Worlds ever this year, or at least Worlds so far.
Mm-hmm. That helps a lot.
I think Riot fucking are so thankful that that fell into their laps, because people were complaining about the format, as they should have. And this is like the only one saving grace for competitive.
Yeah. And again, it's like, it's not, I think, because of anything that Riot did. It just happened to be that we got a lot of good games and a lot of good series and like an interesting storyline. Right, like, unless competitive League is fully scripted, which I don't think it is, but if you want to, like...
There are people who believe that.
if that's your, you know, theory behind it, like, I wouldn't rule it out, because I think, you know, absolutely, for a company that size producing a product like this, like, it would be easy for them to orchestrate it and have, like, X Team win when they want to for more storylines and more views. I just really, really, really doubt that they would be able to do that and get away with it when there are like 17-year-olds involved.
I think it is
all of their org's details accidentally all the time.
I think it's basically impossible, because like half the games in LCS, like specifically, are just so fucking boring.
I think the reality is if there's any sort of tampering, it's done at the level of this team plays X better, so we're going to keep X in meta and nerf Y, which I think is like also like it's doable, but I don't know if it happens. I would lean on side it doesn't, but I think it's like super possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Like, it's definitely possible. Again, I think to me, the biggest indicator that it's not happening is just like with all of the constant leaks from every org and Riot itself.
Yeah.
Like, it would have gotten out by now, right? Like, when you have executives on teams having phone calls they shouldn't in the background of a stream, right? Like, this is not an industry, I think, that is consistently professionals. I think it's a lot of people that kind of stumbled their way into wherever they are. And, like, not to say they're doing a bad job, but, like... The level of being able to keep secrets that you would see maybe like on an NFL team, for example, like if they were doing something shady, you probably wouldn't hear about it. But if TSM was, like, they would have like accidentally left a note on the table when they invited like some random content creator over.
Yeah.
They would have scheduled a tweet and then they should have canceled it, but then it goes through anyway.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, overall, like I definitely get where you guys are coming from, that it has felt a little samey or uninspired this year. I personally think one of the biggest issues for me is like, I did not like Zeri, and I think that was one of like the biggest potentially good things. Like, you know, I think for Aiden, that's very high up there. Mm-hmm.
And no, I don't like playing against her, but I think she's like very good for the game, like as a whole.
I just like characters when you like actually look at them. It's like, oh, having this character in this like 5v5 right now actually kind of changes how it would act if it was any other AD carry or any other top laner or whatever. And I feel like that's so rare in League now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree that she does that. You know, my issues are much more on how poorly balanced she was and then how poorly adjusted she was as well, where it's like
is too she dude she's so gross again competitive and fucking she, LCS starts in like 2 weeks and her and you're gonna be picked all over again.
That's my bigger issue with Zeri. Like I think as a concept and how she plays is very cool and interesting, and like you said, like she changes the dynamics of things, but it's really hard to not just have a bad taste in your mouth when like for a month or 6 weeks or however long it was, she can build AP and like crit EU for 80% of your health, and you're like, oh yeah, that's really cool that this AD carry who's already like super oppressive in her primary role can be the best poke mage in the game.
Yeah,
and picking Xerath is troll. Like, can you imagine if Xerath Q did Zeri E or W damage at that same time?
And he could skateboard through walls.
Yeah,
and he could skateboard
the mobility
through
that
walls.
She did.
Yeah, right. Like, and they, that stuff is just
what if every
frustrating to me.
Character could just take skateboard through walls as a summoner spell.
I would take it on every character.
I mean, it's the same thing with like fucking AP Kai'Sa. It's like, why does AP Kai'Sa, like the weird man immune into whatever build, like, why does her W get to deal twice the damage of a Xerath Q when Xerath is like the long range poke mage?
I mean, like, it's also just the inconsistency of it, right? Like, some things will be like allowed to stay for so long,
Aatrox,
and some things will be fucking just cummed in like 3 seconds when they're like meta. Like, AP Zeri was only like 2 patches, which thank god, but like then you just have other like cringe like off meta stuff that feels just as game breaking that like they're just Riot's like, this is good. But I don't know. The reality is it's just complaints. Like, overall, I like the game. Overall, I'm going to play ranked next season. I'm still doing the thing where one of the two ranked slots I'm going to try really hard, and one of them I'm going to, like, play as little as possible and see how I can get. I still, like, at some point, if I have more free time, I would still love to, like, have us, like, play in a league together. I feel like that would help me a lot enjoy the game more. It's just more finding time for, like, the five of us and stuff.
Yeah, I think that would be super fun as well.
Because it'd be like a one night a week commitment sort of thing.
Yeah, but we should do that.
I think so too. I think that'd be fun. Yeah, and that's kind of it. Like, I mean, do you guys have any other thoughts? Like, I'm a little doom and gloom on it. But overall, it's not like I don't like it. I mean, I fucking have been playing community games every single day this week. I've been obviously enjoying the gameplay. It's just, I think it's sad seeing how big of a property League of Legends is and how little cool stuff they produce for their main game. I think Riot as a whole produces as much cool shit as any other big game company. It's just for their main game, it feels like it's fucking like 10% of it.
Yeah, I think that's not something that I had necessarily thought about, but something that I do think is a really good point. If you compare it to, I mean, it's not the same direct one-to-one comparison, but something like Fortnite, right, where they just had this massive like engine update and now the game is receiving popularity more so than it has before. They've had huge events where they just, well, we're removing building for a little bit, like we're, and then oh, now that's just a queue that's, you know, that's there for sure.
Yeah, they just try shit randomly.
Yeah, or even like there's just things that happen, I guess. But like, what is the thing that has happened in League that you can stand out and remember? Like the durability patch for me.
Yeah.
And then I think it goes all the way back to probably
Item rework, I would say. Is
item rework,
the next big.
Spirit Blossom event, I think was big just because it came out like and was fun and also had Nexus Blitz, which I always enjoy and play a ton of. But like that, I don't know. It just like is so few and far between that it feels, I don't know. It feels just like, okay, I'm going to play League, but then It's kind of the same experience.
It does feel like a game of this size should have like 4 fucking huge things a year.
Yeah.
And we get at most one, I would say more like one every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe like twice a year if we're like super lucky, but Yeah. Right, just let us play your game in like more ways, different ways.
I just want to play community games, dude, with people. I just want to fucking queue up for Hex Hill. I want to queue up for Earth. I want to queue up for whatever in
custom. You have no idea.
I just want to invite all the LeagueCast community to play Butcher's Bridge with me.
You have no idea how many games I would play if we could custom mode Nexus Blitz.
Yep.
Like I would play that every single day, every single night. Like without a doubt. But hey, that's okay. Hey, when Nexus Blitz does come out, I'll do some community games and we'll just shit stomp some randos.
Yeah, we'll blitz some Nexuses. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's 2023. Like, I really do hope it is a better year for League. I mean, it was a good year for me personally, at least. I'm not sure for you guys, like how your year was and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
it was good. I enjoyed.
I just want the game I love to be even more fun.
Yeah, exactly. So
sorry if it came off as whiny. I'm not trying to be whiny.
We still love League of Legends.
Better. I play it a lot, even though I don't play a lot of ranked.
We complain because we care.
Yeah. Hey, and you missed one really cool thing that happened in League this year, and that's that Ruination came out, and I think that Audible is still a sponsor, so shout out to them for letting you read Ruination.
Yeah, and if you want to also read Ruination, you can go to our link, which is audibletrial.com/leaguecast, and you can claim your free audiobook.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Aiden and I talked like pretty in-depth about it last week when you were gone, Colton.
Either last week or the week before, something like that. Or I think Colton was here.
I was there for the show.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Did the deep dive, yeah. Oh, I just kept my mouth shut. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you like were gone, so it didn't get spoiled for you. But it was very, very good. Would recommend.
Val in our Discord made a Ruination spoiler channel because they're currently like reading through it and just they give updates. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm. It's been popping off to you.
Yeah, it's fun.
Very cool. Awesome. What are we up to next? Is there anything else we want to talk about bi-weekly before we mosey on?
We're already 40 minutes in. I'm down to just keep going. We'll crush through it.
Sure. Yeah. Let's go through roundtable. Enter the roundtable.
Colton, if you had to transfer all your League knowledge to another game, what game would you choose?
That'd be good. Yeah.
At this point, I think I would probably go with chess. I've been playing a good amount of chess. And I feel like it is, right, like, the essence of a timeless game and is much more universal, right, where it's like, I'm good at League, that matters in some circles, not in others, but it's like, hey, I'm in, like, you know, like, I'm a grandmaster in chess, like, I feel like even for people who don't play that, like, they would recognize that.
Yeah.
And I don't know of any, like, singular other video game that I would really care about being really good at, and that
Tetris.
I wouldn't just like go learn to play that game, because I think that's another thing, is that like chess is one that like I would like to be very good at chess, but I really, really highly doubt that I will ever take the time and effort to like learn to get significantly better.
That makes sense.
So that's my answer.
Is there like a chess what's the word I'm looking for, like
equivalent
ELO
oh
to percentage chart thingy?
Like a rank distribution, but for ELO.
Rank distribution, yeah. Because I'm wondering, like, you're like top 1% of League, so what would be top 1% of like chess if you could transfer it?
Yeah, I'm sure that there is somewhere, but I don't know where to find that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure, like, yeah, if I was like top 1% of chess players, it would be at the very least like over 2,000.
That's sick.
So
there's one for Blitz here. I can't find like a regular one, but like the Blitz one looks like. Okay, this is actually really bad. There's no way I could like read this.
So Magnus Carlsen is 2859, and he's the current chess world champion.
Yeah.
A player who is 2000 is in the 97th percentile.
So top 3%, yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd be higher than that. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Probably like 22 or 2300.
Wow.
Which really puts into perspective how fucking goated the grandmasters are.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
It's like not even close. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. So from our Twitter, Wise Papa Surf said golf, which I think is a cool idea, transferring not to a game but like to like a sport.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah. Maybe that.
That's actually
not
like
golf,
a really
but like a sport.
Yeah.
Football.
That's a good idea.
Fenrir said, Jeopardy, go get that money. Actually, though, I'd probably choose WoW or StarCraft. I don't know if WoW, like, I guess if you can put all that and get all the stuff that you would have spent doing that time, it would be good. I don't know if how much knowledge you get from, like, having 10,000 hours of WoW.
I mean, there's definitely a lot. I think for things like PvP, it matters a ton. But in general, it doesn't. You could play now and, you know, reach top 1% if you really wanted, of like raiders at least.
From our very own Alex, he said Dwarf Fortress for sure. Dwarf Fortress has so much depth, and I currently have no idea what I'm doing. And then last but not least, Sir Fish, he said Magic the Gathering. The game is so competent and deep in old formats, and so rewarding if you know what you're doing. From our Discord, Wallace said, I transfer my knowledge to Apex Legends because that game is so much fun. It feels good when you do things well, movement and aim. It would be even more fun if I could be top 5% and constantly doing well. And then last but not least, Duke of Doom said chess, since I haven't played since I was 4 and the only chance I'll have to be a pro. That's nice. Funny. Cool. So this week's roundtable question is, if you had to make a take a shot when for League of Legends, what would it be? This is an email question sent in last week, but I think it's great.
So are we going to do take a shot when for like competitive or just anything?
It can be anything. Like it can be like fun. It can be for yourself. It can be whatever.
Are we trying to do like a serious one? Because like take a shot when someone complains about a champion.
That's
you
great.
Just like, fucking die.
Yeah, that's good. Like for myself, I think I would do like a take a shot when I call something that's going to happen and still die to it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That happens often.
That's a good one. I'm gonna meme on it and say I'm gonna take a shot when Aiden calls something cool that he's gonna do and then he fucks it up.
It's so fun to call shit out before you do it though.
Oh like, yeah. No, I love doing that so much, especially as a jungler. Mm-hmm. Where you're like taking your red buff and you're like, yo, top lane, in 20 seconds you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But more serious, it's tough because like number of games affects this drastically, but I would say like when there's like a quadra kill or pentakill would be another easy good one, but not as like unique to any of us specifically.
Take a shot when you get a kill.
Take a shot when Colton escapes somehow miraculously 40 seconds after the play started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Nice. If you want to tell us what you would make your take a shot when, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeakCast. You can send us an email, mail@leakcastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/leakcast.
All right, we are hopping into mail fight. The first one is from Armis, who says, hey, gamers, got a quick one here. I have a counter offer to paying for YouTube Premium to listen to LCS games while at work. Just go to your mobile browser and set it to desktop mode. You can listen to live streams in the background that way, or you can also go to the LOL Esports website to get the same effect. It's finally good for something. So, yeah, save that $12 and just cheat the system instead later, gamers. It's not a bad
this
idea.
One but... simple hack to saving millions.
Rioters hate him. Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Armis.
Next cool. email is from Luke, and I believe this is an email about JoJo. Says,
okay. Thank you for removing the spoilers, by the way.
Yeah. It's not like a big spoiler. I just think it's something that's when you get to the end, it's cool to not have it already known. So
yeah, I'm almost done with it at this point. I think I've got like two or three more episodes, and before I get to this email, my frustration is mounting because they keep fucking doing it, man. They keep doing this shit where it's like, here's this stand that introduces a cool problem, and they're like, we solved it with this completely unrelated bullshit.
This is my favorite. We talked about it last week a little bit, Colton. This is my favorite part.
Oh, okay. You and I are going to have a chat.
It's because you like the ending a lot, right?
Yeah, I also like the entire thing. I think anime in general is kind of shit and gimmicky and shit. And I think this part has those parts of anime, but the good parts are just better than any other part, I think.
All right. Gotcha. Anyway, on to Luke's email. He says, hey guys, first of all, happy holidays. I think the last email I sent was like 8 months ago when I first started watching JoJo. It took me a long time, but I finally watched it all. I literally just finished watching Stone Ocean, and I have to agree with you that it's one of the craziest endings I've ever watched. Every time I finish a piece of media, I'm left with feeling some kind of emptiness, but with this one, it feels strange. JoJo endings kind of make a full circle that feel empty and complete at the same time. Aiden blocked out some spoilers. I feel like in the course of the series, what JoJo's is about changes a lot, so the ending always feels a little weird. I think it's really great overall, though. I know that you guys discussed this bit on the podcast, but I'm curious which are your favorite parts, stands, and characters. I think each part is amazing in its own way. I really like the comedy in parts 2 and 3. And even though part 4 didn't have a clear course almost until the end, it was very enjoyable. I think it'd be really interesting to see characters and stands from different parts interact with each other. Like Crazy Diamond with Golden Wind, Star Platinum, The World with Emperor Crimson, the villain Ideals, etc. Something funny to me is about the show is the characters outsmarting each other like 10 times before one wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually the final form of the powerful stands in each part revolve around controlling time in some way. I could keep going on and on and on, but it'd be a very long email. Is there a place on your Discord for JoJo discussion? Would it be cool to share opinions about it there? Or he's saying it would be cool. Yeah, we've got a JoJo channel in our
a little JoJo forum.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, always a pleasure listening to you guys and allowing us as the community to be a part of your show. Wishing you a happy new year and hope to keep binging episodes on in 2023.
Hell yeah. So what are our favorite parts? Do we want to, I think Aiden and I have ranked them recently, so we can just refer back to that. Colton, do you want to rank yours?
Oh God, off the top of my head, it's I think 2 is pretty high up there. I really like 2.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably what 4 is,
Josuke.
Just kidding. God, I'm like completely mixing.
Was the slice of life?
Yeah.
Mario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mario.
Okay, yeah, I think then probably 4, 3. 1 holds. I mean, it's hard to like.
You like 1.
Huh?
You like 1.
I really like 1 still.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. At least so far, I would probably put Stone Ocean towards the bottom.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's just like my mental state coming into it, but I feel like so many more of the fights are like presenting you with a third of the puzzle and then solving it with something completely unrelated that wasn't in the third that they presented.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's very frustrating to me as a viewer where, again, like, you can literally make up and explain anything you want. You can have whatever stupid weird rules, but then actually use them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I don't know. Have you gotten to the part where there's a stand that affects memory?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Okay. Yeah, I won't go into it, but like that part specifically really put a bad taste in my mouth.
See. Gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know. That's, I guess, my vague listing, if you could make any coherent order out of that.
Okay. I think mine was 2, 5, the second half of 3, 4, the first half of 3, and then 1.
Hell yeah. And mine is 6 over 5 and 4. Over 2, over 3, and then a lot over 1.
Yeah. One is just like a product of its time. It's not bad. It's just definitely written in the 80s. So.
Also, I don't think any of them are like actually bad. So I just think I like those ones more.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I still think all of them are like very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Awesome. Do we have any like favorite stands that we want to like mention?
Only like, major one is that I think Weather Report is actually like a top 3 stand now. Like
in terms of strength or just like cool?
No, like my favorite. Like
yeah, I really like Weather Report. I have gotten to that part. Very mm-hmm. cool. I'm a big fan of Chef really Tony cool. and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, right?
Yeah.
What's the stand name? It's just such a fun episode.
Mm-hmm. One thing I would absolutely love to see is if we took like Prime JoJo from part 2.
Okay.
And like just put him into fights like against stand users and he's just got like
he would fucking die.
he should, but like I'm giving him enough main character energy that okay. he obviously would have to be able to like see and interact with stands, but I do think it'd be really interesting if they tried to pull that aspect back in where it's like, hey, all of you guys are stand users, but we've got this like one dude that's just like a Hamon user. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously a lot of stands are just going to body him, but like every now and then where it's like a weird stand that's just like affecting your mental, and he's like, cool, I'm just going to punch you in the fucking throat.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be pretty good. I like that. Cool. Thank you, Luke. Next email is from Lil Barnabas. Hey, fellas, as a CCG player, I think I have a different perspective on min-max, maybe?
I'm thinking it was meant to be min-max.
Yeah. In Legends of Runeterra, a game where it's very easy to have every card in the game, it's very easy to net deck and find the most optimal version of the deck you want to play. Some players may have some variation, but for the most part, decks get solved. In Marvel Snap, getting a full collection is relatively difficult, so you may be able to net deck, but an important skill is figuring out why certain cards are in the deck and what cards you can put in to replace them and accomplish a similar goal. I don't necessarily think this is a good idea, but imagine there were a lot more runes and you had to unlock them, or runes were locked for specific champions. Obviously, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but what do you think? Do you think this could be a fun change? Happy New Year, Little Barnabas. So this is, I think, in discussion of our old runes versus new runes system. And do we feel like it's like the system's fault, or I sort of blamed like net decking, but for everything and anything.
Just to give context here, Colton, Nick and I had a long discussion last week about why, like, the old runes versus the new runes. It kind of came down to new gaming is very much a min-max thing. You look shit up, you mm-hmm. like, you play everything as optimally as possible because, like, there's information for everything, and it really affects games like, yeah, card games, or as I've recently been bitching about on our Discord, like TFT. Games that are like very data driven, I think, get affected the most by things like this, where like you can literally look up what's optimal. It doesn't mean you know how to do the things, right? Like, there still is skill in these games. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty fucking obvious. Mm-hmm. But you don't just go, I don't know what fucking card deck I'm going to put together, so I'm just going to try stuff. No, if you want to play a card deck, you can look up an optimal card deck, and then after that, you can start changing shit out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I am more in favor of that and think it's a good thing. I'm not sure which side of it you are on. It seemed like you were kind of seeing that as a negative.
In favor of, like, net decking and being able to look things up?
Yeah, like, I
okay.
Because the alternative to me is then, like, having to spend all that time learning that almost, like, baseline knowledge. I feel like for TFT, it's less so because I think there's a lot more variety there. Whereas, like, if you download a net deck in Legends of Runeterra and play that deck and never change anything about it, like, you can probably get, like, high diamond, if not whatever their next rank up is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you just, like, look at a guide on, like, TF Tactics or whatever website you use for TFT stuff, like, if you just look at that guide and do what it says, you're gonna still have to learn how to actually play TFT to make that build work. But, like, having those resources available lets you get to that level significantly faster without having to try all of those things, right? Like, I don't want to have to put in 100 games to, like, learn which comps I like or that are good to be able to then, like, start learning the intricacies. I would like to be able to just start it and do it because I'm not going to put that much time into TFT.
That's interesting because I feel like that's sort of how I feel. Like, one of the things that I enjoy about League is that I did enjoy putting all the time into League and, like, figuring everything out. And I think, like, if I had started now, I definitely would have not done that as much, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and, like, I enjoyed learning it. It's just that at this point, like, I don't have enough time to learn it for all those things.
That's that's fair. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I would like to be able to play TFT well and at a competitive-ish level, but I'm not going to put, you know, 200 hours into it.
Yeah, we started League at a different time in our lives as well, so that makes sense.
Yeah, when you're in, like, high school or whatever, you just have time to fucking throw in anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to speak to the actual email, the idea of, like, the availability of cards or runes and having to unlock things to get deeper into the system, I personally really dislike that, because it again, it raises that barrier to entry for new players, where I am someone who kind of, like I was just saying, I would rather be in the opposite, where it's like, okay, let's get these like low level basic things out of the way so that the nuance and the intricacies of the game can shine. And that's where we can see that player skill disparity, mm-hmm. right? Like if you give Faker and me the same rune page, obviously Faker's going to be doing much better, mm-hmm. because the rune page really doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Right, like, and if you give me and the best Legends of Runeterra player in the world, like, the same deck, or even if you give me a deck that counters his deck, he's probably going to beat me. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he actually knows how to play the fucking game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, no, like, there's definitely a skill. I just think that, like, it can be frustrating, especially at, like, the mid-level of games, where it feels like a lot of it is dominated by, like, just information min-max creep, I think, of games.
Yeah, and I would say, especially if you are someone who's not utilizing the resources, that feels really bad.
Yeah,
where it's like, yeah, like I am learning, or you know, did have to learn this the long, difficult way, instead of like copying a deck or copying a build or whatever it might be.
Like, I mean, like I don't know, like TFT is like obviously a very data-driven game, but like if you play a game of TFT right now, it's like six people in the lobby are going either supers or Yumi, right? Or both.
Yeah.
And it's like, and why? Because there's enough information out there that that people can realize that you're going to get top four like 80% of the time running this comp. And the people who don't get top four are the people who aren't running it, right? Like maybe one person top four isn't running it. Like, and it's like, that's, I feel like it would be an issue even if there wasn't as much data on the games, but less people would be doing it, or it would take slower to like overcome shit. Like if a patch comes out in like a game like TFT, or I'm assuming Legends of Runeterra, and something becomes fucking turbo OP, the time that it takes the vast majority of the player base to understand and like come to that conclusion and start running it is so low compared to like old games.
Well, I mean, that's like exactly what I'm, I guess, referring to. Like when I'm making this argument is like, if you imagine how quickly we've gone from like champion gets a slight buff in patch notes that like maybe isn't even something that we're super aware of, and then one person gets their like OPGG posted on Reddit and suddenly it's in every single game that you play, right? Like I feel like that exactly what you're saying, that time to from like change to meta is like is so low now that you know there's 6,000 content creators trying to be the first to report on it, so everyone sees it in their feeds, and it becomes like less unique because everyone is seeing it.
And it's obviously easier in data-driven games. I'm gonna say like card games probably being, or maybe TFT is even easier than card games. I think you have to have like knowledge of how to pilot decks and stuff like that. Versus like TFT, I think you can even follow like this is optimal items to get, this is optimal positioning to get, and you can do better overall. But like League, for example, there is a lot of mechanical skill that's in League, right? You can't just figure out, oh, hey, mid Nunu's OP, and then start just playing mid Nunu and win 100% of your games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes sense. That being said, compare, and I know these aren't fully comparable, like cheese strategies of top supports, like top Janna, roaming Janna, all those things, how quickly you saw those in...
Exactly, yeah.
Like, how frequently in your games, versus something like, not boosting, what's the fucking thing?
Funneling.
Funneling. Like, dude, funneling was the best strategy in the fucking game for climbing in solo queue.
But it was hard.
Like, multiple times for years.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's harder than playing support top. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think if funneling became, like, this super uber like hidden OP strategy again, I think we're seeing it way more than we did like a couple years
back. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
And, and I think, yeah, in the context of like League, it feels very different because it is a much more complex game, but I totally see where you guys are coming from. Yeah, that like those weird niche strats that used to be able to exist for a while without being like found, like I think the best example would be like, right, like there are a million content creators who are like, check out this one player on KR who's playing top Riven but goes full tank. Yeah. And then it's like, this person's been doing that for like a month. Whereas before it'd be like, check out this weird AP Gangplank main who's been doing it for a year and a half before somebody actually found them.
Yeah, no, I fucking love Lol Dobby. He's my favorite YouTube channel. And like, he'll like have a video. It's like, Korean players are doing this. And it's like, it's been like 2 days since the patch, man. Like,
And like, how many views do those get? Like
100, 200K. He's not a huge channel, but like he does them like pretty consistently, and like they are like stuff where, yeah, it's like Colton said, like before you'd have Donghyop, he used to do all those videos, right? He'd be like, this guy plays top Blitzcrank to Diamond or whatever, right? And it'd be an interview talking about this guy who's, for years, I've been a top Blitzcrank man, my dad was a top Blitzcrank
man.
All right, my son's gonna be a top Blitzcrank man. And now it's like, okay, this strategy's been out for a day and there's a video on it. Like, it's fucked.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching the Cassante one that he posted that now has 600,000 views, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, it was, I mean, it's exactly that, you know, but.
Yeah, just information is, like, just so quick now, which is, there's benefits and downs. I think Nick and I were way more on the, like, downsides of it before, so Colton, I really do appreciate your opinion of like, hey, it's easier to get up to speed on stuff, which is I do agree, because I think we all use information, like,
oh yeah, for sure,
like, want to complain about it. I think I probably bitch about it the most, but like, it's not like I don't use it. I fucking constantly watch these videos, I constantly have ideas for things, and I look
because
up ways
because if you're not, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage.
Yeah, that's right, fair.
Like,
and I think to jump back to like the TFT example with like the current builds, like I haven't been playing a ton. I did play a good amount of like the OP Supers Yumi comp when it came out like initially on that patch, and I guess it still hasn't been adjusted.
The issue is that they've been on holiday, so it's been like 6 weeks of this, Colton, of like this being the best comp, and it's fucking miserable.
Yeah, and I, so like part of the problem off the bat is that the Supers Yumi comp is primarily 1 and 2 cost units, which means that like 3 players can actually hit. And a fourth player can kind of hit, as well as the fact that when reroll comps are good, and if they're good across the board, reroll comps are a lot easier to access. So, like, and I don't know if that's the case right now, but if two good reroll comps that don't use the same units, both of those reroll comps innately get better because it's easier to hit.
And I just want to quickly step in. I think TFT overall, I think fucking Mordog's a fucking brilliant game designer, by the way. He's like the lead on TFT. Them implementing, for example, they implemented hero augments, which I know you complained about a little bit earlier, Colton. Like, the more and more I've like watched high level TFT players, I think it's a fucking brilliant idea because it creates less of the information gap. Because if you get a fucking hero augment for Wukong, right, like a pretty shit unit, you can now make a comp out of this character that normally you wouldn't be able to, and therefore creates this level of like just skill gap that you wouldn't have versus like I'm never going to use this unit because it's fucking shit, I never put it in, whereas now you have this option that's opened up to you because of this thing, right?
It
adds a lot of flexibility to the game, and I think that, you know, with TFT, people who don't play flexibly, it's just because they like don't know how, and they aren't actually that good at TFT. And like, not to say that I am a god amongst men, like I don't play flexibly because I don't know how to play TFT most of the time these days. Like, I played flexibly like the 2 sets that I actually did play, but for the most, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna copy a build and I'm gonna like one trick it and I'm gonna use the same units. But like, for people who have actually played a good amount of TFT, like, yeah, it's frustrating to go against it, but if you then try and play that same comp over and over, you'll realize like, oh, I'm not just winning every game, or like, hey, like, obviously one of the Yumi players is, or maybe 2 of them are going to be top 4, but I like there are alternatives, and if you keep losing to it, like, you are doing something wrong, right? Like, if you look up the build that X Challenger player went last game and you try and run it, you're not going to instantly be Challenger. You're going to be whatever rank you were, or maybe slightly better now that you're, you know, building the right units.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Maxing of games can be like good and frustrating is like the main thing comes from that.
Yeah. I also think like it very much depends on the game and the context. Right, where it's like, in LCS, you should min-max. If you're trying to climb ranks in TFT, you should min-max. If you're trying to goof around in an ARAM, I do not give a fuck what the optimal build on X character is. I built it because I thought it'd be fun.
Right? Yeah, like, and that's how I feel. Is like I think that happens way more often than it should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a big conversation in like the D&D community, is like min-maxing, where it's like, that's perfectly fine if that's what you're into. It's just the context, where it's like, if you're at a table with a DM who wants to run like really difficult, complex encounters, and 3 out of 4 players have min-maxed their build, and you just did something that was like fun and yeah, like you didn't really think about, like, you're probably not going to have a lot of fun at that mm-hmm. table, because your character's not going to be useful. But, you know, opposite end of the spectrum, if you have like a role play heavy game without a bunch of like complex encounters, and they're kind of loose to the rules, and you've got 3 out of 4 players who built silly stuff, and you min-max for like combat, you're also not going to have very much fun.
Yeah, because
the thing that you are trying to do is not lining up with the thing you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then that's again just, hey, you know, right time, right place for everything. There are goods and bads.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks, Little Barnabas. It was a good discussion.
Final email from Large Dad. I bet it's a joke. Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, no. Little Barnabas said that. Large Dad says, y'all gave me a scare this time, making me think that you had already recorded the pod before I could send this in. Gotta make my one fan happy. So, I think this is the actual start of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a brutal mass murder at a party one night. The detective arrives at the scene and asks the officer to fill him in on what's happened. The officer says, all the victims were dismembered and then sacrificed on an altar made out of antlers. The detective, in shock at the horror of the crime, exclaims, dear God. The officer then responds, most likely, yes.
That's a good one.
That was a good one. I like that one. It's funny. It's funny if you don't read it, I've learned.
Yeah.
It's funny if you're hearing it for the first time.
Yeah, it's funny when Colton tells it.
Yeah, Colton's a good joke teller.
Yeah, I think Colton's a better joke teller than Large Dad is. Hit us with the classic Colton joke.
I'll hit you with Aiden's classic joke. Why did the blind man fall into the well? Or why? What did the blind man say before he fell into the well?
What?
I can't see that well.
Nice.
I fucked it up.
Hey, that's okay. You can, it'll edit it and chop it up and make it sound good.
Yep.
Nice.
Edited.
Yeah, wow. That sounded really funny. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to send us an email, it's mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLara, Blue Basket, and Leaguecast Frost. Tweet at us at Leaguecast. On Facebook, we are Leaguecast. Visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/Leaguecast. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Leaguecast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next
week. Speaking of Patreon, do you want me to go through the wall of support since it's the first show of the month? Yeah, if you super like us, you could be one of our super cool patrons, like Aaron, Actual Yordle, Adrian, Alex, Andrew, Angelholic, Anivia, Armis, Arsonist, Ashlyn, Austin, Beer Better, Bellator, Blabby, Blackwax, Big Peen Sheen, Blooper, Brady, Breedable Soraka, Brian, Brosif, Brother Dust, Brybump, Chaz, Cheese For Real, Chuzix, Kodio, Colton, Coin Toss, Coastal Toast, Dabular, Dalton, Daddy Kaiser, Dallin, Danman, Dapper Dodge, David, David the Deadly Tiger, Decopa, Devin, Diggy Daxter, Dippy, Dr. Libby, Don't Be Creative, Drive Forward, Dr. Nolly, Drew, Dr. Herfurfurfur, Dreamwill and Jay, Elisaga, Elliot, Inebriated Otter, X Vengeance, Foxlow, Franco, Fritz, Frozen Ninja, Gabriel, I don't know. Gamer Wolf, George, Gunner, Harley, Hexen, Heckenduck, H-Fire, Herks, I Cosplay Gragas, I Am 3D-Ski, Ibra, Iron Squid, Isaac, It's In My Veins, Jagalski, I don't know if that's an iron L, Jake, Jamal, Jotty, Jay Picante, Jaziel, Jeff, Jesse, Jigmink, Jisu, Joby, John, Jonah, Jonaho, 88, Jorge, Jordan, Josh, but not a Josh, Joshua, Calzafar, Chaos Reaper, Kieran, Kennedy, Kevin, Clon Amy, Koi the Monkey Boy, Colby, Conrad, Crombone, Cracked Pastor, Patser, 23, Chris, Landon, Lacona, Levi Spells, Evil, Leviathan, Lisp Sync, Little Barnabas, Little Lorian, Lofi, Lucas, Madeline, Man Mannington, Marshall, Mary Makes No Sense, Max and Mox, Michael, Mijikel, Milkman, Monty, Mr. Ginger, Muse Guy, My Balls, Your Gin, Nathan, Nathaniel, Nikoj, Nicole, Night Rift, Noah, NYC Poem, Nick T. Knox, Oscar, Orden, Panda Bear 9, Popkish Ivor and Picasso, Pocky, Puff Clouding, Purple Play Panda, Raphael, Rattlesnake Jake, Red Lefty, RJ, Roy, Ryan, Sammy, Scarecrow Jones, Sejuani's Baby Daddy, Selfius, Seth, Stu, Stuart, Sunny Pebble, T-Hubs, Tanner, Thane, The Last Samurai, The Slater, Thomas, Titties and Bitties, T. Scotland, Ty, Undertoned, Walter, Womper, Will, William, Wolf, Wolfie, Wyatt, Zavarux, X-Strong, Zod, Yanis, Yumi with a Gun, Zorica, Xiaomin, and Zyra is my champ.
Oh my goodness.
The list is getting longer, my guys.
Well done. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.